Welcome to Success Secrets, the podcast where we dive into the inspiring stories of individuals who have overcome obstacles and achieved remarkable success in their professional lives. Get ready to be inspired and discover their secrets to success. Today, we're joined by Luke Tobin, a seasoned entrepreneur who started from his spare bedroom in 2016 and went on to build and sell multiple businesses, experiencing both triumphs and setbacks along the way. Now, as co-CEO of Cadastra, overseeing a team of 900 and generating $50 million in revenue, and the founder of Tobin Capital, a $5 million investment portfolio, Luke is here to share the real, unfiltered truth about entrepreneurship. Get ready for an insightful conversation with a true industry leader. Hi, Luke. Welcome to Success Secrets. It's such a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Amazing. And how are you doing today?
Oh, very good. Thank you. Yeah, really excited to jump into this.
Me too. I can see you're doing amazing things on LinkedIn. And I'm really excited to dive into your success secrets and share with my listeners as well.
Awesome.
So, Luke, can you tell me a bit about yourself and your background and your inspiration behind getting into entrepreneurship and, more about who you are as a person?
Of course. So 20 years or so of being an entrepreneur. I've had 7 businesses to date. I'm on my 8th now. A few that didn't work out and a few that did, 3 successful exits. The more kind of recent journey that I've been on was building a marketing agency, which I scaled up over kind of 6-7 years and sold that in late 2022. I'm now running a family fund, a company called Tobin Capital, where we support scale-up and startup companies, offer advice, and really an ecosystem, a marketplace where they can access the support they need from finance to legal to operational support, as well as deploying some capital into helping those businesses grow as well.
Very interesting. So, tell me more about your entrepreneurial journey. So you went from having a marketing agency to now owning your own fund. So what made you pivot into that? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey. I mean, I've had businesses across 4 different industries now. Marketing led me to start working with a lot of startups and scale-up companies, a lot of which happened to be raising at the time. So I started to kind of unearth a new passion inside myself for fundraising and looking at how investments are done and understanding, initially it was kind of a mix of crowdfunding type raises, then it was going to VCs and really kind of dip my toe in the water with supporting those businesses through the marketing agency. I then came into a bit of cash with one of the exits and decided to deploy a bit of money into some EIS and SEIS funds, then started doing some direct investments. And to be honest, really found a passion for finance, which is strange because I think I got a D in maths at GCSE. But if someone tried to catch me out on a balance sheet, I think they'd be hard pushed today. So I've just found a real love and passion for finance and all things finance and investing. And it's interesting, a lot of the early investments I did, I didn't put cash in. I just put time and experience and knowledge and got some sweat equity that way. And now I do deploy both. It's been an interesting journey. And now obviously with the fund growing, people are starting to trust me more with their capital, which is great. And I think, I've been through some of the war stories myself in order to prove that I can do it.
Wow, that's a super cool story, by the way. Very inspiring. Tell me more about your educational background as well. And did you go to university at all? Tell me about that and how that has impacted you, or do you feel like it's hindered you? Tell me about that.
I mean, education and I have always had a bit of a, it's been a bit of a strange journey. I think at school, I was always like an average student, did okay in my GCSEs overall, but actually went to college to study drama afterwards. At the time, kind of had a real passion for it, did some business studies as well as a side A level to the drama course. But after that, decided to not go to uni. I deferred for a year, actually. I got a drama placement in London, deferred for a year, never went back, never looked back either. started working, started earning money and thought, well, actually, this is what I want to do. Had my first business at 18, 19. It was a import drink company bringing in different wines from European regions and selling them in the UK, as well as bar hire. So just kind of transitioned very quickly into entrepreneurship and never went back and never looked back at university. And I know there's a lot of kind of questions in the industry about the relevancy of people's educations and actually what they end up doing. And for me, I can't think of kind of, you know, any example where I look back and I go, well, actually, I feel like I've missed out on something there. I really don't. It's been actually getting into work earlier has been an advantage. I feel like I've had 3 or 4 years ahead of some of my peers because I've literally been in the trenches learning all those things that you need to learn, the mistakes you need to go through earlier than they did. And I think, you know, that's kind of set me up quite well.
I have to agree with you there because I also didn't go to university and I also feel like I got a head start against other people. But I feel like it also depends on the mindset as well, because someone that didn't go to university could have that mindset that, oh, I can't do this because I never went to university. So I'm not capable enough or I'm not smart enough. So it's all about, like you've been mentioning, you've dedicated yourself to a continuous journey of learning throughout your life. And you have not stopped ever since finishing school. Well, most people would stop. So I think, yeah, I think not going to university can either come in your benefit or it can hinder you. It depends how you see it in your mind, right? I agree. I mean,
we are only what we believe we are, right? Our own limitations are what we create in our own minds. And it's as simple as that. So, yeah, university or not university doesn't really matter. It's about that continuous university of life, which is the cliche, I know, but it's true, right? If you constantly want to keep elevating yourself, you can.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. University of life. It's a good one. And so on to the mind now, because I think that this is a nice topic that I love to speak about with entrepreneurs, because I find that a lot of entrepreneurs all tend to have the same mindset. So how important would you say mindset is for you to like in your business ventures, and how has having a mindset like yours helped you achieve good things?
The mindset is everything, right? So it's that self-perception. And don't get me wrong, we all have imposter syndrome. We all have moments of feeling like we're not worth it. We all have days where we wake up and we don't want to get up. But it's having that kind of grit. And I think the thing that sets entrepreneurs apart is being able to fail and fail fast, fail forward, and get back up again. So it's kind of, you're defined by the moments where you have to get yourself back on your feet more than the ones where you're on a constant climb. So yeah, I think it's everything. And you know, for me, there's lots of things I do to try and stay on top of that, from listening to lots of podcasts, going for walks, bit of meditation, like whatever. I've tried everything over the years, by the way, to try and increase that. But a lot of it just comes down to having an inner goal and vision for yourself and where you want to be, and just always going back to that kind of true north, really. Because there'll always be things that try and curveball you away from that. Just staying strong and staying focused on where you want to be is the key.
Amazing. So you said having that vision of yourself. So how important would you say it is to set goals for yourself to achieve them? Because some people may go through life without setting any goals or having any intentions. But would you say that's something that you do?
Yeah, if you don't have goals in life, you are just going around in circles effectively. And you will find that you'll get more imposter syndrome. Your circle of understanding, learning, everything stays very insular. So you've got to have goals and you've got to have things that challenge you, that scare you. You know, for a long time, I used to hate public speaking. Things like this would have really bothered me as well, like the idea of doing a podcast. But the only way that you break through that is to do more of it and to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation. And, you know, that was one of my goals, to do that and continue to do it. Still get petrified before I go on stage, but I force myself to do it, you know. So it's just about having, again, that inner monologue. You'll always have part of you that says you can't, but you need a bigger part that says you can.
I love it. I love it. And I'm totally with you as well, because when I was 18, actually, I did a funny, you're speaking about public speaking, because I did a post today about me being 18 and having the worst fear of public speaking. And on the post, it basically said, if someone told my 18-year-old self that I was flying around the world doing TEDx talks and everything like that, she would have choked on her Prosecco and said to get real. But right now, this is what I'm doing. So it's basically that when you start to really push yourself out there and just try and turn your strength into, your weakness into a strength, it just shows that anything is possible.
It
is,
yeah. And it comes down to that, again, it's that inner confidence, inner belief. And quite often you'll find that, you know, you haven't yet been able to prove it to yourself, but you know that you can. And I think that's the key.
Yeah, it's so true. And there's a saying that goes, for growth to happen, it's important to like be in uncomfortable situations. So get comfortable being uncomfortable, and that's how you grow.
I love that expression. It's so, so true. If you're not out of your comfort zone and you stay in your comfort zone, you're not experiencing life, are you? So at the end of the day, we're all going to be dead one day. That's a fact. So what's the harm in putting yourself out there? People don't care as much as we internalize and think that they do. You know, you can mess up a few times and no one's really going to remember it. Just, you know, stay true to yourself, really.
Stay true to yourself. I love it. Keep your, hold your values high. And yeah, just go keep putting yourself out there. And I think that's also what a lot of people are scared to do, especially young people that are just coming out of school or just coming out of university or just starting their careers. Some of them will lack a lot of confidence in putting themselves out there, and they're scared of what their peers would think, or they're scared of failing. Could you tell us more about failure and why it's important?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just to touch on that briefly as well, I think a lot of that is, you know, the younger generation, but also, you know, our generation, we are dealing with the constant pressures of social media, and everybody's benchmarking their lives, their livelihoods, their ability to succeed against each other. So it is hard coming out. But I think, yeah, you know, being able and being willing to fail in front of your peers is all part of the growth to actually being the successful one in your group. So my first three businesses completely failed. And because I was younger and, you know, proud and maybe a bit arrogant at the time, I told everyone about them. I thought they were going to be the best thing ever. It was very public. And they flopped, and it was, you know, real kind of pride punch, difficult thing at the time. Ended up in some debt really early on as well because I've taken it. So, but those learnings early on have made me a much better business person, a much more careful and considered business person as I've developed. So by 25, I'd had three failed businesses. By 26, I sold a business to a large international group. My first exit, had my next exit 3 years later, had my next one 10 years later. So you've got to go through those pains to get to an outcome that you want.
Okay. Yeah, that's I love that you've mentioned that you've had three failed businesses, because most people, if they started a business and they fail, they said, I can't be an entrepreneur because I've already failed. But that's also part of being an entrepreneur, right? It's failing, but failing forward. I'm sure you learn a lot from those failures than you did if you wouldn't have tried anyway. And I'm sure those failures that you've gone through have helped equip you into succeeding in your next venture.
Absolutely.
Right?
I mean, just from foundation level, like understanding where to put capital, being more careful with money, like everything I learned in those three failed businesses. And it makes you a lot wiser going into that kind of that next venture. So yeah, and that's not to say that everyone has to fail in every business venture to get there. But if you look at the most successful entrepreneurs out there, they've all had as many failures, if not more, than they have successes. So, you know, don't beat yourself up, and certainly don't let it put you off if you try something and it doesn't work. You know, you see it on the stock market, you see it in investments in general. Someone will invest in something, they'll lose a bit of money, they'll never invest again, or they'll never go for it again, they'll just put the money in the bank losing money. Yeah, just don't be afraid to try stuff. I think that's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just all about putting yourself out there, learning from those mistakes, and then that's where you fail forward. I always say as well, we've said it quite a few times, but you never fail, but you fail forward, because every failure you learn from them, and that helps equip you to move forward in life.
Exactly. It's all those stepping stones, and it makes you a a better person. It builds your character as well, right? No matter what you go through, good or bad in life, it's all part of the journey. So it's hard at the time to see that, obviously. So it's easy in hindsight, I know. But hopefully there's some reassurance in the message, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I have another interesting question for you. So for someone that's, for example, that wants to be an entrepreneur, or they're a serial entrepreneur, they want to have like multiple businesses, how would you go about starting a business? So, for example, when I was around like my early 20s, I had a lot of business ideas, right? And I wanted to do all of them, but obviously you only have so much time. So would you say it's best to focus on one thing and then get that to a good level, or focus on whatever you want to, you think which one's going to be successful?
So I think, you know, testing, if you've got lots of ideas, and I get about 10 a day as well, but I have to really think about, okay, well, what deserves the time? And I call it the momentum paradox, this. So where you put your energy and your time, and the more you can put your energy and time in something, the more likely for it to be successful it is. So I often would say, try and pick the one that you think has the most legs and put your energy and time into that. However, stress testing and maybe testing a few ideas early on isn't a bad thing either. But I do think, you know, from my own successes where I've tried to take on too much, spread my time too thin, it just hasn't worked out well for me, either from a stress perspective or a success perspective. So test the market fit, product market fit. If you feel like you've got something, then just go all in on it. I think that's probably the best bit of advice.
Amazing. That's great advice. And I think it's also really important, right, with you only have so much energy in your day. And if you really want to make a success of something, then you do need to dedicate that energy towards making that a success first. And obviously, once you build that up to a really good level, then you can look at other avenues. But if you're building up from scratch, you need to focus on that specific thing until it's at a good level, is what I would say.
100%. And what you see, you know, when we're looking at big entrepreneurs out there, like Elon Musk, for example, who's got like 10 huge companies, everyone goes, oh my God, right, okay, I want to, you know, I need to be doing that. But actually, he's got huge teams running those businesses for him, right? He's the figurehead. But early on, he was in the trenches day to day, building those first few businesses from his, you know, bare hands from the ground up. So just get stuck into something and put everything into it.
I agree. Great advice. What motivates you, Luke, to get out of bed in the morning? What is your inspiration?
I love this question. I was asked this at interview as well, what motivates people. For me, I absolutely love working with other entrepreneurs. So a big part of my day-to-day is helping them to be successful and guiding them from like a kind of mentorship perspective. That for me gives me a lot of joy. You know, I also want to build, you know, a stronger foundation for myself, for my family, you know, that those kind of inner rooted pieces in me do drive me as well. But really it's getting enjoyment out of what I do. I love it.
So. I love it. Yeah, that's so good. And I feel like if you love what you do, then you're going to get out of bed every morning and do it to a great level and be super passionate about it, right? And that's also what makes you successful too.
There's a great saying, find something that you love to do and you never work a day in your life. So yeah, but I mean, don't get me wrong, there's some days I don't love it, but I guess just keep it real. But for the most part, it's great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's obviously areas in building a business where you're not the most excited about, but you get up every day and you can see that you're building your dreams.
Exactly.
And I feel like that's the most exciting thing. And that's also what's really passionate, because you're actually seeing your baby come to life and you're building something amazing. And I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the best advice you've ever received?
So for me, I think a lot of my life, and this is what I was talking about, that momentum paradox earlier, I've always been a bit one foot in, one foot out, trying to, you know, get, I guess, have my cake and eat it in different places. So when I started my marketing agency, I had a contract job, which was paying me a really good salary. And I was doing that basically full time. And then the evenings, I was doing my marketing agency. I did that for 2 years. And we grew to nearly $500,000 in revenue at the marketing agency, just as a side gig. And I was like, oh my God, I really need to take the plunge, but I found it hard to do. So I ended up with 10 staff in the marketing agency before I even went full time myself. But actually then when I went full time, it was the start of 2019, COVID hit a year later, and I was thinking, God, imagine if I'd actually gone in those 2 years before. Like we grew from kind of you know, 0 to 5 million in 5-6 years. So it was a fast growth anyway. Yeah. But I always wonder how faster it could have been. So for me, one of my mentors said to me, Luke, you just need to go all in and streamline your focus. Like, you know, just do it. You've got something good here. So yeah, to not be 1 foot out, just go all in.
Okay. So when you've obviously got a great product and a great service, to just keep focusing on that rather than trying but branch into other areas?
Is
that
I mean, you can add different products over time, but I think what often people do is they get a bit of success with something or something's working, and then they start to have all these other fringe ideas, and all of a sudden you disperse that momentum and it makes it really hard. Sometimes then that thing that's performing starts to drop. Mm-hmm. I've seen that time and time again. So yeah, keep driving it as high as you can first.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's really good advice, because as entrepreneurs, we get so many different ideas, right? And it's so easy to get our heads in different pies and just get so motivated and excited about other things. So it's really important to keep your head on focus if you want to build something great. And
we're looking at shiny things, don't we? That's the thing.
We like looking at shiny things, yeah. And we're like, how can we solve this problem? Yeah, it's part of the entrepreneurial trait. And I have to agree, because I'm guilty of doing that as well. And then I have to remind myself, okay, if I'm going to put my hands in, like, if I'm going to get involved with this, how is it going to benefit my current business, right?
Exactly.
So obviously I've been doing a lot of building my personal brand and doing speaking engagements and other things like that, but that also has benefits to my main company too, because it's shining a light on it. So yeah, that's one of the areas. That's what I always look into when I'm going into other ventures.
Definitely. Yeah. Very good.
And what's the worst advice you've ever received?
Oh, there's probably been quite a few bits, but I always try to take, at least at face value, everyone's advice on, and whether you take it on board is another thing, but certainly, you know, it's like nostalgia for some people giving advice. Probably that I shouldn't start a business, or that I shouldn't do an investment, or that it's too risky. You know, you often hear that people have heard that from their family members or friends or whatever. There's often that fear factor. So yeah, probably not to do something. And I've had that a few times, but I've done it anyway. And I think, you know, I've gone on and then made it a success. So just be your own counsel, listen to other people, because there is some good advice out there. And, you know, there's some great advisors and business mentors and that sort of stuff, but be your own counsel when it comes to, you know, what your goals are.
I completely agree with that, because when I first started, I had a lot of people saying, don't start a business, you should play it safe and stay in your corporate job, or I was too young to start a business, I don't have enough experience, and things like that. And at the end of the day, I have a saying is, don't take advice from people who aren't where you want to be. So Obviously, if they're not super successful entrepreneur, then you should take their advice with a pinch of salt. Obviously, take it on board, but you decide which advice you want to take on. Like you were saying, you take it in and you can decide if you want to take it on board, right?
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Amazing. And how do you define success? I think everyone has their own definition of success. So it'd be interesting to hear how you would define it.
I think this goes back to those goals that you set and that kind of true north for yourself. So for me, it's building businesses or companies that I have a passion for and that I love, and being able to bring other people on the journey that work with me, you know, co-founders or employees or whatever it might be. And then, you know, being able to see the businesses that I work with, whether that be at the marketing agency or be at the kind of advisory Tobin Capital piece, succeed. And then I think, you know, it really does change at different stages of your life as well, right? So for a long time when I was younger, all I wanted to do was chase money. And don't get me wrong, more capital, more money to deploy and do good things with and to give back is a good thing. But yeah, I mean, it changes. So for me, it's about, I'm also going on this weird kind of, since the last exit, like trying to like get a bit more spiritual and really understand, like, as human beings, like what drives us, what really motivates us, what, you know, what's the purpose. So I'm trying to figure that out as well, which is, I'm a long way off, but yeah, so different things at different stages, I think. it's probably a bit of a round the circle way of answering that. But
yeah, no, I have to agree with you there, because in my early 20s, it was all about materialistic things and designer things and everything like that. And now I'm just taking a step back and seeing, actually, no, they're just things, and that doesn't really make me happy. What really makes me happy is experiences, traveling the world, listening to, like you mentioned, like being more spiritual and finding out what makes you tick rather than what society wants for you. So going back to your own values, not listening to the noise outside. And then, yeah, part of that is just traveling the world full time and living the life how I want it to be.
It's actually, you know, new experiences are it's the essence of life for sure. So, yeah, doing that. And actually, you know, I know we're talking a lot about entrepreneurship and everything else, but like remembering to live your life as well outside of, you know, and when you are building a business, very hard because it's all consuming. But making enough time for yourself and actually enjoying life is really, that is success, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's so easy to get so involved in the business that you forget, actually, you've come this far and you need to be proud of yourself for that. And I'm also guilty of that as well, because I'll get to, like, I'll reach a milestone and I'm like, okay, what's next? Rather than taking a step back and really appreciating. But I've really started doing that this past year, which has been nice.
Yeah, it's important. I read Bill Gates's book, and actually he does this what he calls a reflection week. So he goes away for a week every year just on his own, just takes books, has a complete digital detox. And he says that it's just he just does that just to kind of rebalance. So I'm going to start trying to, you know, it might not be a week, but it might be a couple of days or something, just to kind of rebalance and get some perspective. Because otherwise, as you say, when you're in business, you hit a milestone, then you're always chasing. And actually, what is business if it's not focused on growth and solving problems? So you're always on to the next thing. And yeah, it's important to actually just smell the roses a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's so true. I love that idea as well, going away and reflecting on your own. I guess I kind of do that already, because I don't know if I told you, but I also spend like 3-4 months in Koh Samui in Thailand a year.
Amazing. Amazing.
It's so nice. Yeah, island life. I actually bought a house there last year, and like every time I go there, I do a lot of yoga and journaling, and like have a lot of time to myself, like beach time and everything like that. So that's been really nice.
Fantastic. Yeah. No, it sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And on to the investing side, because obviously now this is like a really big area for you. Obviously, you've come up as an entrepreneur, you've exited your businesses, and now you've decided to go into investing, which I think is a really interesting area. So obviously, you've gained some capital and you started the business. So how do you decide what to invest into?
Yeah, it's been, I guess, the kind of thesis for that and the way that I've approached it has changed. So I kind of, as I mentioned, I kind of stumbled into investing, and I really start by looking for really good founders that have got the energy that I think it takes to persevere. Ideally, some that have already been through some trials and tribulations, because that means that they're a bit kind of weathered and they're ready for to build up. So they've had some failures before, that helps. But really, for me, businesses that are actually a business of purpose, not just a profit, even though profit's necessary for any business, also helps. So a lot of the types of investments that I've fallen into have been kind of sustainability, ESG-led, purpose-type businesses. So, yeah. And then, you know, it has to be a business that I understand, that's simple enough that I can read a quick pitch deck and totally get it. There's so many businesses and weird and wonderful businesses out there that are amazing, I'm sure. But if I just don't get it, then it's just not worth my time. So I try to funnel it through that way. Good founders, business that I understand, and, you know, is it something I think can make money?
Interesting, interesting. And how does someone get into investing? Like, how did you get into it?
So I completely stumbled into it, just through an interest, I guess, early on. I think there's a bit of a misconception that you must have, you know, had a finance degree, you must have worked at a bank or some sort of investment firm in order to kind of stumble into it. But actually, my route in has been completely different. So I, you know, I very much self-taught myself, you know, spent many hours on articles, blogs, doing small investments on the stock market and building them up to much larger ones. Some mixed successes in that, but overall, you know, I've been able to build my portfolio really nicely. And then off the back of the kind of network, I think building a network and learning from other people that have been in the industry and that are smarter than you. To start with, I just reached out and asked for some advice. And, you know, I've connected with so many amazing finance leaders and industry peers that have just really helped. And always what I found is most people are willing to help and give you a bit of advice if you just ask for it. And in return now, quite often I've been able to give some deal flow or give some things back to them, which is, you know, everything's quite circular. There's plenty to go around. And I think that's the beauty of it. I would encourage anybody that's got an interest just to start self-learning and, you know, start on the stock market, even with 100 quid, you know, look at some EIS funds and put, you know, a bit of your savings in there. Like just play with it, start learning yourself, see if you've got a passion for it.
I like that. Yeah. And it's so true, because a lot of people get scared of, oh, I need to be a multimillionaire to invest, or I need to have a finance degree to invest. But it's like, there's so many entry level apps these days that you can go into, like Free Trade, for example, and they will teach you where to invest and how high risk you want the investment to be. So you can go for low risk investments. So it's anyone can invest these days, right?
They can. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, if you start and you get the bug for it, then pay for the, you know, FT, Bloomberg, like whatever, start just reading more, digesting, and, you know, you can pick up a lot as you go. But, you know, wisely and slow, I guess, is the right way to approach it.
Definitely. So would you say your favorite things to invest into are stocks and startups?
Yeah, it's probably a mix of those two things. So, you know, I'm quite active when it comes to the stock market. I manage all my own investments that way. I have some property as well, and then outside of that, it's Tobin Capital, and it's deploying into scale up startup companies.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. That's it's very interesting. And what are your future plans? Like, what would you say you're most excited about for yourself and your business?
So I'm still working in the marketing agency that I built day to day. So we're growing that to do some sort of IPO probably late next year or early 2026. I'm super excited for that. I think that's going to be a really exciting journey to go on as well. And the group's at nearly 1,000 staff now globally, and just being part of that larger board and that narrative has been an amazing experience. So again, that journey of self-discovery and learning is, you know, it's been a whole new learning for me. So I'm excited by that. And then at Tobin Capital, I think at some stage in the future, we'll look at launching our own fund as well, and maybe an EIS fund or something like that. And yeah, initially, and looking forward to scaling that and growing that. I'm also in the process of looking at spending more time kind of digital nomading, living abroad, and I'm really excited by that and my personal journey. So yeah, loads to look forward to.
Yes, I mean, it seems like a very exciting time with you with the IPO and your new business venture, and yeah, going after what you truly desire in life as well, which is seems to be wanting to explore the world more, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, it's amazing. And obviously, you mentioned that you have, well, you're part of you saw the marketing company, so you're still part of it, are you?
I am, yeah. I'm still co-CEO of the EMEA region. I still have some equity there, so obviously it makes sense for me to keep driving it. We want to grow the business rapidly over the next kind of year and a half, and then do the listing, yeah. So then at some stage in the future, you know, I'm sure we'll continue to do more acquisitions and keep growing that, but I'll hopefully then be able to focus a bit more time at some stage on Tobin Capital.
Yeah, very exciting time. So that also leads me on to my other question, which is a very a topic very close to my heart. So diversity and inclusion has become increasingly important topic in the workplace.
Yeah.
How would you at your company prioritize D&I, diversity and inclusion within your organization or team?
Yeah, it's a great question. So we 3 or 4 years ago, joined what I call the B Corp movement, or became a B Corp business, which sets some really good foundations, I think, for how you should approach diversity inclusion, also profits and purpose. within the marketing agency, if we talk about that as a kind of, you know, first step, I think we've got about 14 or 15 nationalities within the business. We're 60 or 65% female. My senior leadership team here in the UK, I think, is 75% female. And, you know, for us, it's critical that we're leading by example when it comes to all aspects of B Corp and the kind of principles that it gives us. So diversity and inclusion is a massive piece of that.
Amazing. Love that. It's great to hear. Great to hear. Okay, so we're just entering the last couple of questions now. So one of the last questions before we go on to the quick fun fire questions is, if you could go back to your younger self at 21 and tell them anything, what would you say?
Probably at that time, I just had a failed business. So I'd say pick your chin up and get back on with it. So I think I definitely had a few months of kind of slumbering and feeling sorry for myself. But no, I think I actually, if I could go back and just teach myself a few things that I've learned, I think I could fast track some of the successes I had. So I'd probably give myself a few pointers. But yeah, I think the most important thing is to just stay focused to those goals that we spoke about earlier. Make sure that you know your true north, that you know what you're trying to achieve. And they change, you know, rewrite. I actually physically still create like a mood board. I say once a year. I think it's probably been a year and a half since I did my last one, but still up in the office. Basically on there, I have the things I want to achieve every 12-month period. And, you know, I think it's important to visualize, but also to make a commitment to yourself when it comes to those goals. And that's really what I would tell myself.
I love that. So it's basically like a vision board, right?
It is a vision board, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I had that in my office in London when I was back there living. And it's crazy to say that, but when I had some snippets from there and I was looking at them last week and I was like, wow, I've actually achieved this already.
It's so cool to see that. It really is. I remember I lived in Australia when I was in my early 20s and had a couple of years there. And I did the first ever vision board. And on there, I put a few things that I wanted to achieve. And I remember within 6 months, I'd done them all. And I was like, oh my God, how have I done that? But it's just having that purpose every day and reminding yourself. And also, it was quite a visual thing. I had three flatmates and they started doing them as well. And I think, you know, just encourage each other. So surrounding yourself with like-minded people helps you get to your goals quicker as well.
So true. Yeah. Surrounding yourself with like-minded people who can lift you up, help you stay on track, and also like bounce ideas off as well and help you stay motivated. It's so, so important because you are the people that you spend the most time with, right?
You are. And I think a lot of people forget that, right? Yeah, you always need, and I try to surround myself with people that are doing better than me because it just helps pull me up to their level. You know, so I think it's important, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, super important. Amazing. So we're just entering a couple of quick fun fire questions now. Okay. So what would you say is your favorite quote?
Dream as if you live forever, live as if you'll die today.
I love that. That's a really nice quote.
Yeah, I like that one. Stuck with me for years.
And favorite book?
The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari by Robin Sharma. Very good book. It's the principles of, in the book, he'd worked a corporate job for many years and then wanted more balance and harmony to his life. It's a really good one. It kind of talks about the disciplines of work, but also enjoying your life.
Amazing. I love that. That's so good. I'm gonna download that book. Yes, always love reading. Okay, so thank you again for joining. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I've really enjoyed this conversation so much and getting an insight into your life, into your secrets to success. And I'm really sure, and I know my listeners will really enjoy this as well. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Cheers.